of the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 76 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In this episode, my guest is Lolly Daskal, founder and CEO of Lead From Within, a leadership coach consultancy. Now, Lolly is also a prolific author with books including The Heart of Leadership, Thoughts Spoken from the Heart, and the soon-to-be-released The Leadership Gap. She publishes regular contributions in the Harvard Business Review, the Huffington Post, Inc., and Medium, among other things. The Huffington Post, in fact, called Lolly one of the most inspiring women in the world. This was a really inspiring interview where we talked about the seven archetypes that live within each of us and how there are two competing polar opposite to each archetype, but only one of those serves us and others in a great leadership capacity. We also talked about learning. Lolly reads a book every day. We talked about discipline and how Lolly manages to publish hundreds, yes, that's right, hundreds of articles every month. So without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Lolly Daskal. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have with me today on this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from the Big Apple in New York, Lolly Daskal. Now, Lolly's an author, a coach, a speaker, and the CEO of her own business, Lead From Within. And we'll talk about her new book, which is The Leadership Gap. And there it is behind you, right? So, Lolly, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, I'm really fascinated by, you know, the work you've been doing and all your findings. And I know you're a really prolific publisher. So I'm excited to learn a little bit more about that and find out how you actually managed to keep that level of publishing frequency going. But before we get on to all those things, let's find out a little bit more about your journey and your background. So how did you end up, what were some of the key steps to your journey to where you are today?
So interestingly enough, my journey started out with trying to find out more about myself. It was a journey about trying to figure out how to make it through my own challenges and how to become the best version of myself. I find that many of us end up teaching, right, what we need to learn. Yeah. And I'm one of those. I became a student of psychology and a student of philosophy to learn more about self. And in learning more about self, I really learned about others. And I learned what it meant to have self-awareness. I learned what it meant to, you know, to be authentic. I learned what it meant to have virtues and to be able to maybe make it through some challenges that maybe if I didn't have all this knowledge would have me undone. And it was in one of my workshops that I was teaching that somebody came over, a participant came over and started to ask me something about his business. And I remember thinking, why is he asking me? I don't know anything about business. I know a lot about the psyche and I know a lot about, you know, philosophy and I know a lot about human behavior, but what do I know about business? And I remember thinking, don't say that out loud, just keep it to yourself. And I said, what can I do to be okay in this moment? And I said, Lolly, you have capabilities, you have competence. Why don't you go from there to give you the confidence that you need? And I stayed, I listened, I asked open-ended questions, and after a while, he said, you know, I really like the way you're with, you know, you are with me. I really like our relationship. And I was thinking, I didn't do anything. All I did was ask questions. And he said, I feel very empowered. I'm going to make you my own personal coach, and I'm going to make you part of my business. And now you're my leadership coach. And I thought, wow. And I met him over 3 decades ago. I still work with him. He's my number one fan. He recommends me to people all the time. I never have to do any advertising. He's always like, oh, you need somebody? You have to call Lolly. You need somebody? You have to call Lolly. And the great thing about that is that if I would have allowed the self-doubt to rule that moment, I don't know if I would be who I am today. So I had, that was an opportunity that I had to stay confident, competent, and capable in order to create a life that I have right now.
Yeah, that's a fabulous story. And there's so much I like about that. So, you know, you wrapped it up there with confident, competent, and capable. But I think starting out with getting out of your own way and saying, well, how can I help this person? And the empathy of asking the questions, not prescribing some solution and saying, well, here's what you should do in your situation, but asking a lot of questions, which, you know, I find that the more questions you ask, the more clarity that provides for somebody else. And that's the power in that. And I think you talk a little bit about that in the leadership gap, but we'll get to that in a moment. So, so why do you do what you do now?
Very good question. I like that question because I love what I do.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning and I look forward to who I'm going to have conversations with. And interestingly enough, I pick my clients by what they do in the world. So I have a lot of calls about they wanting to be coached by me. And one of the questions that there's two questions I always ask. What do you do in the world to make an impact? And how will you be of service to the world? How will you pay it back? And if it's something that is meaningful to me, that I resonate with, I usually say, yes, let's go do this and let's take this journey together. If someone says to me, Lolly, I'm hiring because I want to make more money and I want to have more money in the bank, I'm not usually their coach.
Yeah.
But if someone says to me, Lolly, I want to make a difference in the world, I want to make an impact in the world, I'm like, let's be partners. Let's create something. Let's find greatness within you and let's do something significant. So that's something about me. I feel like as a coach, I'm a conduit to something wonderful and greatness in others. And that's why I take many of my clients.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. And the corollary of that in some ways is that people that are focused on money generally end up failing because they overlook the fact that if you serve more people, if you help more people and you help them more, that ends up leading to more money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I'm fascinated by the premise in the leadership gap. So what you talk about is the seven archetypes that you've identified that we all have within us, but you take that a step further and you say for each archetype, there's kind of positive attributes, but then there's a corollary of that, which is a gap. That's essentially what you're defining as the gap, isn't it?
Yeah. So I have found in my studies and in my research and in my coaching that all of us have within us strengths. But within those strengths, we also have a polarity of character, and that's our weaknesses. And most of the time, people only want to talk about their strengths, and they want to hide their weaknesses because they're ashamed or they think that they need to mask it because nobody should really know about their weaknesses. But the truth is that if we try to squish a part of who we are, then it tends to ripple out anyway, right? It tends to show up anyway. And that I found that to be true with all my clients. I always tell my clients, what you don't own, owns you.
Yeah.
And so my whole philosophy is to integrate our strengths and our weaknesses to become a whole person. And in my book, I talk about how to leverage our weaknesses. I don't think a weakness is something there that is a bad thing. I actually think it's a good thing because it pushes us to our greatness. It pushes us in order to leverage the greatness within us and our potential.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. What you don't own owns you. I really like that. Now I know you're really good with those one-line quotes, and I've picked a few of those up. So there's another one. So we'll add that to the tweet list for this episode. Now, can you give us a practical example of how that plays out?
Absolutely. And that's very important because this is not just a theory that was made up. This comes from my clients. This comes from working with thousands of people around the world. And it's very important to understand, it doesn't matter what gender, what culture, what country you come from, and I've coached this all around the world, every single person is going to find themselves in these seven archetypes because they're based on virtues, and all of us have virtues. And so there's confidence, there's trust, there's courage, there's loyalty. But let's take one so we can really dive into it so people can say, oh, that's me. I get it. I understand it. So let's start from the very beginning. First of all, it's called the rethink system. And the reason it's called rethink is because most of us spend a lot of time thinking that we know, thinking that we know what to do. But the truth is, as leaders, sometimes we have to rethink what we know and what we don't know in order to become the person we're meant to be. And the first archetype in the rethink model is the rebel. The rebel is someone who wants to do something significant in the world. They want to make an impact in the world. And in order to do that, they have to have confidence. But as I said earlier, confidence isn't standing in front of someone saying, I am the best and I'm the greatest. Yeah. It really comes from your capabilities plus your competence equal confidence. But then there's a gap. Within each of us, all of us, and research shows 99.1% of us, there's a leadership gap of the imposter who has self-doubt. Mm. There are many times that when we have opportunities and when we have circumstances in our lives where it asks us to show up and to stand up, what happens is we go, no, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm smart enough and good enough. And we feed into the imposter syndrome and we feel self-doubt. And what does it get us? It only gets us to lead from a leadership gap instead of standing in our greatness. And this little polarity can end up getting between who we are meant to be.
Oh, that's just magic, because I've been in several communities recently where, you know, they're business communities supporting one another over various things, and the topic of imposter syndrome comes up so much. And, you know, people are saying, well, I've got this opportunity, but I don't think I'm good enough to do it, or so on. So, you know, I see that so many times. And so that's a great example.
Right. And the thing about it is, we need to understand where the imposter syndrome comes from. So one of the things is very important to note is that if we are busy comparing ourselves to others, we will never win. Yeah. So the person that is always looking over their shoulder to see what someone else is doing and wondering why they're not measuring up, that will never get you to be the rebel who's confident, because the rebel measures their success from within, and the imposter who has self-doubt measures their success with others. And that's important to note.
Mm, that's a really good point. Yeah. I like to bring up the point that, hey, everyone has a contribution to make. Everyone has skills. Everyone has knowledge that they, you know, that are unique to them, that other people don't have. And so the imposter syndrome is kind of about, so my imposter syndrome is about me. And if I use that to prevent myself from sharing the knowledge that I have that other people may not have, well, that's a disservice. That's a disservice to those other people. So, you know, it's, if you come, and I know one of the other archetypes, you talk a lot about service. So if that's strong as a value, then that, I think, appeals to people that, hey, you have a service to do, so get out of your own way, get over that imposter syndrome.
Right. You know, interestingly enough, what you just said is so brilliant, because what we learn is that you can't have two emotions at the same time. You can't have love and hate at the same time. You can't be of service and be selfless at the, you know, to be selfish at the same time. Yeah. So what you're saying is so brilliant, because if you can concentrate on service, then you takes care of the imposter syndrome. It takes care of being self-serving. So that's very smart. That's not even mentioned in the book, but it's a great point that I do teach it in my workshops.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, there might be another book. Now, having said that around the book, that brings me back to what I said earlier. You are a really prolific publisher. In fact, I don't think I've ever come across anyone that publishes as much as you do. I believe you do about 10, at least, if not more, articles a day.
I do a lot of articles a day and hundreds of articles a month. Yes.
Yeah. So how do you manage to churn out that level of information? And, you know, I have to say, I have to point out to those people listening to this, I haven't read hundreds, but I've definitely read a lot, and it's all exceptionally valuable information, really good stuff. So, and it doesn't repeat itself. You don't do a lot of repurposing.
No. So it's, you're asking a great question because it follows the question that we just talked about.
Yeah.
So we talked about service and of serving. And so my articles come from being of service to others. So when I coach, now my business is not to write articles. My business is to coach others in order for them to realize that greatness lies within them. And I'm constantly traveling, and my day job is constantly to be in a business working with my clients.
Hmm.
So my clients and I have conversations about different topics, about confidence, about competence, about networking, about how a leader should be in social media. All these are conversations. And I walk away thinking, if she is thinking about this, if he's struggling about this, many other people are struggling. So every time I leave a client, I take out my little notebook and I write down a bunch of little notes and I think, how can I be of service to those that listen to me or read me? What can I write that would be beneficial to them and bring value to them? And then if you realize, if you ever read my articles, they're not very long.
Mm.
They're short takeaways that you can digest and you can apply them immediately into your life. Because life is complicated as it is, and I want my work to be not simple, but in order to be accessible. And so when I leave my clients, I write down a couple of words, and then I spend time on my weekend where I flush out many of those articles based upon the conversations that I've had. And then during the week, I ripple them out one at a time. And every time, I've never said this out loud, but every time I press enter or publish, I always say to myself, I want this to be of value and of service to others. I want this to make an impact. And then I let it go. I've never admitted that out loud. This is the first time I'm ever saying that, but that's what I want to do. That's why I write so much, because I figure if someone's struggling with it, then others are struggling with it.
Mm. Yeah, that's great, great stuff. So, and I often find, I mean, I'm someone that perhaps is disciplined about regular publishing, but doesn't do it anywhere near as often as you. I mean, if I have one or two articles a week regularly that I've written myself, that's, I'm quite pleased with that. But I tend to try to write long articles, and perhaps I should take a leaf out of your book and think of, you know, does that serve the audience best?
You know, first of all, this is not a competition, right? It's really not about quantity. It's about quality.
That's
everything
right.
is about quality. Hmm. So if you have readership and they're reading the longer articles, then it works for you.
Hmm.
But you know, I have seen lately, and in certain places, people put a 2-minute read, a 1-minute read, and people are so distracted these days. It used to be like 3 or 4 years ago, people would listen to a video for 4 or 5 minutes. If it's more than 2 minutes, everybody's like, what's at the end? You know, what is she saying? Oh, okay, I'll just go to the end.
Where's the fast forward? Yeah.
Right? They want to just get to the end. And so I think if I want them to read the whole article, I just make it short enough and smart enough that they can have something to take away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. That really is. I talk a lot about, I do a lot of work with people around digital marketing, and content marketing is something I'm really passionate about, because and the way I put it is providing exceptionally useful information to your audience, because by doing that you're serving them and not expecting anything in return. Because what ends up happening is that, first of all, they see you're providing really useful information, they see that you know stuff that might help them, and so a lot of them end up becoming clients. So fairly simple formula. And I'm sure it works for you as well in the coaching era.
Yeah, I coach. Interestingly enough, my clients, I don't think they're reading. I think you're talking about my in columns. I mean, I write many, many in columns per month, but my clients are not, I don't know if they're reading ink.
Okay.
not that there's anything bad about ink, you know, every business has what their clients are reading. And the truth is, that's why I write for many publications, for Harvard Business Review, for Huffington Post, for Entrepreneur, for Business Insider. I try to be of service to every single kind of client, maybe not always my client, but for someone who needs maybe a little bit of, you know, empowerment or encouragement. I get beautiful notes every morning saying, you're the first person I read in the morning because you make me feel good. Well, that's enough.
Yeah, that must be a pretty powerful motivator. Yeah. All right. Now, let's talk some more about leadership then and the leadership gap. So walk us through a little bit. You've given an example there of the rebel and the imposter syndrome. So explain to us how the gap bit works out, and what's your strategy, or what do you recommend in the book that people should be doing with that dichotomy, if you like, of characters?
So the first thing is to get familiar with the Rethink system, because the Rethink system is based on 7 archetypes and 7 virtues, and we all need to embody these virtues. If you're going to succeed in life, it doesn't come from your title and it doesn't come from your position. It comes from who you are and what you stand for. That's how people will follow you. That's how people will resonate with you. And that's how people will find you compelling. But the interesting thing is when we're challenged, when we're stressed, when we're very distracted, when we feel anxious, we tend to go to our weaknesses, because sometimes it's a little bit easier. And even though they're not the best parts of ourselves, they tend to show up more than our positive sides. So if you're anxious, you might end up wanting to control people. You might become more selfish. You might withhold information. These are all things that I talk about in the book as leadership gaps. And the thing is they do exist. But the answer is, what are we going to do about it? Mm. And so the first thing is very important, is to find out who you are going to be, right? Because these are the 7 archetypes of who. And it's more important than the how, the what, the when, and the where. Because if you don't have the who you are, it doesn't matter what the rest of the book says. It doesn't matter how I tell you to leverage parts of how to do things. Because if you're not feeling that, you know, if you're feeling self-doubt, if you're feeling like an imposter, and I actually tell you the 10 steps how to be the next millionaire or billionaire, you're not going to do it, right? Yeah. Because you're too busy having self-doubt about who you are. So the most important thing is to recognize in this book is to get who you are and which archetype you are, right? So you can stand in your greatness, but also realize that you need to learn to leverage your weaknesses. And so I give you in each chapter your greatness or your leadership gap. And then I tell you how to leverage it so you can be the best version of who you are.
That's really fascinating stuff. Now, you said something there that triggered a thought in my mind, and it's around, you know, who you should be to get the best leverage out of your strengths. But you've also talked about 7 archetypes, and one of the things I get concerned about sometimes with these things is the labeling, the aspect of labeling. So, you know, I might see myself as a rebel, so I can't behave as a knight and be of service, or, you know, the other archetypes that you're there. But then, you know, a successful person would say, well, what do I want to have and what do I need to do to have that? And so who do I have to be to do those things?
You just, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. One of my mentors is Carl Gustav Jung, and this is what he said: we're the sum of all our parts.
Yeah.
These archetypes are within all of us. Every single virtue exists within us. But the whole thing about this book is that we can choose at any given moment, my greatness or my gap. What archetype? I could be the knight 1 minute, the truth teller another, a rebel the next, a hero at another time. In one given day, I could be all 7 archetypes, because they're some virtues. And the thing about labeling, you said something very important. These archetypes are not here to label you. They're here to unmask you. They're here to reveal you. They're here to unfold you into your greatness. Because I think labeling gets between you and your greatness. What this does is give you a system, gives you a modality, gives you permission to be all of who you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That I like that explanation for so many reasons. And it also, you know, knowing yourself better and knowing, like a lot of people don't realize, for example, let's go back to the imposter syndrome. A lot of people just feel I'm shy or I'm I lack a bit of confidence. They don't realize that what they're doing is the imposter syndrome. And if they understood that, then they could choose to not do imposter syndrome. They can choose to be of service. And like you said earlier, so then they forget about the second characteristic.
So they could be, right. So what you're saying is so smart. What you're saying is that when people realize that they have self-doubt and they are the imposter, the question is, which archetype do I need to be? My thing is that you need to become the rebel who has confidence because it feeds in without feeling capable and competent. So I always talk to my clients about that's the first thing you need to do. And the next thing is like, you can't do two things at one time. So I always say, be of service to others. So you stop thinking about yourself, right? Because if you're serving others, you don't have time to worry and complain about yourself.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Who's stuck? I always tell my clients that are really stuck, who can you go and help? Who can you be of service to? Because once you start moving, once you start helping others, you tend to then have the energy and the flow of what you need to do for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You just reminded me that, you know, some of these communities that I mentioned earlier, one of the things that works really well if somebody asks a question there is actually providing an answer, you know, so giving your opinion on that. Here's what I do in that situation. And then usually what happens is you reflect on that and you say, well, actually, I should go and do that when I'm in that situation. So you're giving somebody else advice, but it's advice for yourself as well.
Right. One thing is very, very careful. In my book, I talk about this. There's an archetype of the navigator who's very smart, who's very practical, very pragmatic, knows how to solve most people's problems. And the thing is, they don't. They usually navigate. They make suggestions. They guide. Otherwise, they're in their leadership gap of being a fixer. You know what a fixer sounds like. We all do it. And then they become across as arrogant. So when someone comes to you with a problem or is feeling stuck, a nice way to say it is, may I make a suggestion? Those are nice. Or have you thought of this? Those work. But the minute you change your sentence to, you should try this, need to do this, I've done it, now you should do it, is the moment we've stepped into the gap.
Yeah. I often try to start off with what works for me in that situation is, and then I have to reflect back what does work for me in that situation, and hell, why don't I do that every time?
right, exactly. Yeah. Right.
All right. Now, you also like to try out new things, I saw. So you've got how many million followers on Twitter? You're one of the very early adopters, and you're trying out new things, but you also talk about systems and processes in some of the podcasts, I think, that I heard about you. So can you talk us through how do you reconcile those two things, you know, the shiny new toy syndrome, and maybe that's another archetype, the distractor and the person that's focused?
So it's not the interesting thing is I'm the inventor. Everything I do is about integrity. So the thing is, I like to try new things, but one thing is very important about me is I'm very disciplined. Mm. When you are very focused and very disciplined, it gives you freedom to do many new things. So if I know that I have to get something done, I'm very focused, I'm very disciplined, I make it important, I get it done, and then I have room to play. Then I have room to explore. And I like to just try new things. I do. I get excited about new things, applications, new mediums, all of that. I remember when I first was on Medium, when I started to contribute in Medium, I was telling my clients, that's a great place to blog. And they go, what? What Medium? What's Medium? And so the thing is I always try to read about what's happening because I like to be an early adapter. I like to try things. And I have enough time to do that because of the discipline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. That's a good way to manage it. I try to do similar. I'm not sure I'm succeeding all the time, but I I've sort of set myself times where I'm allowed to go and play with things, and reading is always good. So I often read stuff and, oh, there's somebody's mentioned something that I haven't heard of before, and away we go.
I like to read also. Every day I read a book.
Every day, yeah.
Every day I read a book.
Yeah.
I think everybody should read tomorrow, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us, when's the book launching? Does it become available?
Available this weekend. And
oh, wow. Good timing.
Get the book. Don't only get the book for yourself, but get a book for someone you care about. Because the message in the book is that greatness lies within everyone and lies within you. Can you imagine if someone reads that book, how they say, oh, wow, did they think greatness lies within me? And that's a beautiful gift.
Yeah. Terrific. All right. So we'll post links to that in the show notes and this weekend. So that's the last weekend of May. And follow Lolly's suggestion of getting a gift for someone else as well as yourself. All right. So what are the big challenges that that you faced having, you know, achieved all that you've achieved and having written all these articles and books and things? What keeps you awake at night?
It's a great question. One of the things that I struggle with is being a perfectionist. I want things to be done very well. I like quality. I like high standard. And for many, many years, being a perfectionist almost kept me from doing things because it wasn't great. It wasn't perfect. But then I realized perfect isn't real. And so I changed up the narrative. And now I strive for excellence. Now I strive for the best quality. Now I strive for giving the best what I have to offer. And when you give the best of what you have to offer, you can launch things. You can get things done. Because I'm not looking for perfect, which doesn't exist, but excellence. But I only know what I know, but I can bring the best of what I have, then I think I will always succeed. So this reminder that being perfect doesn't exist, but excellence is something where you could have success has been a game changer for me. But it's a work in progress because that's a default of mine. Let's make it perfect. There's no such thing, Lolly.
Yeah, I can relate to that. And as you say, you know, first of all, perfect doesn't exist. So for me, I have to keep reminding myself what I see as perfect, somebody else might see as severely flawed. So who's to say it's perfect? And secondly, you know, perfection. So I also like to keep raising the bar. So if I'm aiming for perfection, I'm never going to get stuff done. So I have to keep reminding myself of that as well.
Absolutely.
So I like the philosophy of aim for excellence.
Right. You said it beautifully. Thank you.
Love it. All right. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Lolly. I really appreciate your time. I think it's time we moved on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily leaders in their field and innovators. So, you know, good audience for you and good audience for the book, but to help them go out and do something awesome as a result of your answers. Now, we've probably answered most of the questions, but maybe you can give a recap. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Read. Read every day. And it doesn't have to be a book, but read something that teaches you something new, new knowledge, new wisdom.
I love that. I love that because it aligns with my very strong values of education. So and I actually do that. I don't quite achieve a book a day, but I certainly spend a lot of time reading. So great advice. So what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products? It's probably the same answer.
Read a book a day. Yeah. It's really changed who I am. Can you imagine, you know, I'm smarter today than I was yesterday, and I've been saying that for over 3 decades.
Yeah. It's pretty Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. And now looking at tools and systems, what is your favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity?
So because I work a lot and I want to be present and I want to be of service to others, I'm an old-fashioned gal, so I use Hootsuite for social media in order to reprogram some of my tweets so then I can spend more time being present with others. So I upload all my articles in one time, in one shot, but then I spend time saying thank you or, you know, answering some of my messages, and it gives me more freedom. So the discipline is using an app that I can put all my tweets up at once across all social media platforms. So then I could have the freedom to connect and converse with those that talk to me.
That's fabulous advice. I like that because I've spoken to people about using tools to program their social media postings and so on. And people say, well, that's against the grain of social media. You're supposed to be engaging with people. I say, no, hang on. Posting articles, you can automate and save a lot of time. The engagement you can then spend on that, which is exactly what you say. So if people respond and comment on an article, you can go back to them and say thank you, or you can start a conversation around that.
Right. I think of posting the articles is, if you walk into a home and it has beautiful art, those are the articles. You can stop and read an article, but I'm sitting at the table with you. Come and have a tea with me. Talk to me. That's what it's about. You want to be present on your social media. You want to be able to answer, you know, if people says you want to be on my podcast. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great. All right. I like that. So what's the best way, you know, to keep a client on track?
To keep a client on track?
Yeah.
Don't fix his problems.
Ask questions. Right?
Ask open-ended questions. One will empower them. One will disempower them. Ask yourself which archetype you want to be, the navigator or the fixer. And the reason I have sustainability for over 3 decades is because I try never to fix someone. Can you imagine if you try to fix someone and it doesn't work? They don't want to work with you anymore, right?
That's right. So yeah.
Navigate through, help them navigate through a problem. Innovate with them, be creative with them, but don't fix.
Excellent advice. Thanks. And finally, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to differentiate themselves?
It's to find out who they are. Read the leadership gap and discover which archetype you are, which one you tend to lean into, which is your virtue. Because at the end of the day, nobody's going to ask you what you did for a living. They're going to ask you who you were being. And that's, you want to be able to answer that.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, who you are being and what contribution did you make, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So this has been wonderful, and I really appreciate you taking time. And I should give a shout out to Dori Clark, if you're listening. Dori, hello, because Dori introduced us and got us together so that we could organize this podcast. What's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
That's a great question. One of the things that most people want from me is how to do things, how to be the most innovative and how to be the most creative. I'm not that coach for you.
Yeah.
I can give you the how, but for me, the biggest advice that I can tell people is that find out who you are. And when you do, realize that greatness lies within you. You are unique, you are different, you are talented, and you are creative, just like everybody else out there. But the thing is that most of us don't choose it. Most of us don't say it's my destiny. So I'm here to tell you that greatness is your destiny. You just have to choose it. That is the best advice. Once you believe that, then come to me and I'll tell you how to create a successful business. But until you believe that, I don't think it could happen.
Yeah, that's fabulous advice. And it reminded me, I've just written a guest blog post. So one of the communities I'm involved in has done some things around mental health issues this month. So they've nominated May as Mental Health Month. And a lot of people have shared stories about how they've dealt with issues that they've had on mental health. And I kind of felt compelled to write something, but I thought, well, I haven't had a mental health issue really, so what do I write? So I talked about how you can reframe bad situations. So I said, well, you know, everybody has bad situations. And even though I don't consider myself having mental health issues, I've never had to take medication, I've never had to seek treatment, but I have had disappointments. I have had bad times, and how do I deal with them? So I talked about that, but at the end of it, I wrote something along the lines of, everybody is an awesome individual, and you have the right to be awesome. You have the right to do great things. Not only that, you have the capability to do it, and not only that, you have the responsibility to yourself and the contribution to the world. So I kind of concluded with that, which is pretty much what you're saying in different words.
No, you said it so much. Oh, that was beautiful. That was profound. So just take in his message. It is so beautiful what you said. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was actually more eloquent when I wrote it down. I can't remember exactly how I said it.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty elegant to me.
Yeah, when it gets published, I might add the link to the bottom of this episode.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot, Lolly. This has been really fantastic. So usually I finish up at this stage and ask, you know, who else should I be interviewing on the Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. What kind of, you like, there's one woman that I think you should interview. Her name is Christy Faulkner. She's all about creativity and innovation. Mm-hmm. She has wonderful concepts about how to be creative. She's brilliant. You're going to love her.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can get an introduction from you. And Christy, look out for an email from us at InnovaBiz inviting you to the InnovaBuzz podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've really enjoyed this, Lolly. It's been a fascinating discussion, and I hope the book launch goes well. And to the audience, please, you know, check it out on Amazon this weekend coming up. But by the time this is published, it'll probably be already live and available. So go and purchase it. Purchase one for a friend or a business associate or a customer that you want to make a difference in their life or in their business as well. Lolly, thanks for your time. I've really enjoyed this.
Me too. It was a true honor. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Lolly as much as I did. That was certainly an inspiring interview. I can understand why the Huffington Post referred to her as one of the most inspiring women in the world. I hope you're inspired now to seek that great leader within you and do something awesome. For those who want to find out more, Lolly's book, The Leadership Gap, will be released on May 31, and you can pre-order now on Amazon. All the great ideas and tips that Lolly shared with us can be found at innovabiz.com.au/Lolly Daskal. That is LOLLYDASKAL. All lowercase, all one word, you know the drill by now, innovabiz.com.au/Lolly Daskal. You'll also find contact information there for getting in touch with Lolly as well. We'd love you to leave some comments on the post and tell us what you got out of this episode and what actions you're going to take as a result. Now, Lolly recommend I interview Christy Faulkner, and I'll need to get some more details from you, Lolly. But Christy, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us at InnovaBiz for an interview on the InnovaBuzz podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts so you'll never miss a future episode. We'd love you to go to one of those and leave us a review as well, just to let us know how we're doing. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future InnovaBuzz podcast or guests you'd like us to interview, please send those ideas to us. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.